It's cold outside. I'm not leaving my house. I've lit a little candle.
I've got a mug of hot chocolate. Like...
Yeah, it is very much that kind of reading.
Yes.
Welcome back to another episode of Southern Municipal Library's podcast, All Booked, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And Chasley and Donald and Katie and I all decided to read a romance book. It is the second book that I've ever finished that was in the romance genre, and I willingly finished it.
That's right.
We are going to talk about the book.
Yeah. It's called Role Playing by Kathy Yardley.
Yes.
And I found it by, well, we came up with this concept first, and then I Googled and read as many like synopses as I could that were both new and also seemed like they wouldn't be like super stereotypical and like possibly would be interesting to all of us. I don't know. It was hard.
You did an excellent job. Yes. Yeah, it was so fantastic.
Thank you. Okay, so who wants to talk about what it's like, the what it's about, the book?
I can give broad strokes premise, okay, but feel free to jump in with details.
And
so part of what makes this a not a super typical romance is it's a gamer romance.
Ooh.
So you've got two people that happen to find each other while playing an online role-playing game. And as somebody who has spent a lot of times playing role-playing games, it was kind of a fun take on things. So your main two characters are named Otter and Bogwitch. I'm just kidding.
That's their real name.
No, but what was funny was you see enough of their gameplay and screen time that it becomes easier to associate that as their names rather than their actual names, which one of them is named Lenny, right, Donald?
No. It is Aiden and Maggie. I almost said Lenny again, and I know.
The other thing that makes this not like your super stereotypical romance is the characters are middle-aged to maybe, I couldn't really put a number on it. Was it late 40s?
I think 50s. One is late 40s and one is early 50s, but I can't remember which is which. But yes.
Even though Bogwitch, a.k.a. Maggie, brings on full-on, like, curmudgeonly, cranky old lady energy, and I'm here for it.
Every time she showed up in, like, a big sweater and was, like, telling people off, I was like, yes, Maggie, please do it again.
And that's part of the funny confusion of the story is that he thinks she is an octogenarian when they're playing online, and he thinks she's an octogenarian. She thinks he is a college student. And so they have this misunderstanding, but become virtual friends anyway until they meet and realize their mistake.
Yes. And it was really, it was just the way they were introduced. They were never introduced in person. It was like his mom was just like, someone I know from church knows someone who plays the video games like you.
That's exactly how I
So his mom like was said that, and like that's how he learned about her. And then I think she was, someone said like, oh, my son goes to someone's, like goes to school with someone who plays video games. And it was just this weird, like, I mean, one, just obviously non-traditional students exist, so that was that was him. He was just taking some classes like for, you know, self-improvement. He wasn't a, you know, fresh-faced 19-year-old college student, but she has a fresh-faced 19-year-old college student, which is why she immediately thought that, which I thought was really interesting, seeing like her trying to balance like just naturally being very introverted with like, I guess theoretically humans need some kind of companionship, but in this very like fine if you make me way, and it does improve her life, but like none of the traditional like go find a group of friends things call to her. And I did like that, even though she like did accept new people into her life, it wasn't like I went to a party and now I'm fixed. It was definitely like, no, I still hate parties and I will not be going, but I guess I have one friend now and that's nice.
It's like brush your teeth, eat your vegetables, interact with other human beings.
Yes, and you're like, fine, I guess I'll do it. But I did like that they both play video games in a way that felt very like realistic. Like they're trying to balance their life with also their favorite hobby, which is nice because it does take a lot of your time if you're playing MMORPGs. It's a time sink. And I also liked, I liked how she went into it, because as someone who plays video games, I was in very nice guilds, because this is very World of Warcraft. Like, the vibe is very World of Warcraft. I was in a very nice guild, and still there was a lot of, like, casual, like, sexism that was, like, disguised as jokes. It wasn't as bad, because it wasn't mean, but it was still sexism. It was hard. For a really long time, I would refuse to play healers, because everyone would just be like, you're a girl, you probably play a healer, right? And I was just like, no, I won't help anybody.
And for that exact reason, I would always play male characters and choose male names. And usually people would think I was a guy until we had to play something complicated enough that voice chat was required. And then people would get mad at me like I betrayed them.
Yes. I told you all my man secrets. I treated you like a person. How could you? I do like that happens in here, but it kind of quickly gets in hand. You get the idea that everyone else in the group actually are teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate that she kind of gets close to some of them, and then some of them just stay. Like, sometimes you find people online and you're like, I'll play with you, but I'm never gonna like you. And that's okay.
You mentioned her son, and I think that this starts, like, in a really interesting time in their lives, because her son has just left home. He's her only child. And so she is dealing with the empty nest syndrome.
Yeah.
But he, Aiden, is a former hospice worker, which is, by the way, the best possible career for a romance hero. Like, I fell a little bit in love with this guy, and that is not my tendency. But it starts, he lost his father a year ago, and so he's, like, kind of sort of processed the grief, so the story is not about that, but it is about him, like, dealing with his mother, who is aging and is having, you know, age-related issues, and so...
needs to, like, not drive anymore, but she's in denial about it. Like...
Yes, and he is there trying to help, and she doesn't want his help.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's a really unique time in both of their lives where, like, being thrown together works for them so much better than it would any other time.
Yeah, like, she needs an outlet because she needs companionship. She was getting into that place that I think a lot of people can relate to, either, like, during COVID or, like, when you're a teenager and school's out and you realize it's been, like, a week and a half since you put real clothes on and you're like, I think I need to leave. I was enjoying it, but now that I've, like, come to this realization that I haven't worn, like, shoes in 2 weeks, I think I should go outside and touch some grass. And then on the other end, you have him, who is, like, he is very unappreciated in the job that he is doing. He quit his actual hospice job to take care of his mom, because it is a full-time job when you are the only person taking care of someone. And because it's his job, people kind of assume, like, it's fine, he's having a great time, like, he doesn't need help from anybody, this is what he does. And he's just very underappreciated, but he's a nice person, so he just hasn't really, this frustration is building up inside of him that he's not let out, because he just, you know, someone's gonna take care of her, and I guess technically I am the best at that. And I like that you're going on their, like, personal journeys as well. It's not just, like, they meet each other and fall in love, and I guess he abandons his mother to the wolves and they move in together. It is an actual, like, you are learning about them as people, and they're going through things in their own lives, and they just happen to be in a place, like you said, where that kind of, like, overlap of what they're going through, they can really help each other. Like, he is very sociable. She is very good at standing her ground. She does that for other people when they need it. And it was just really nice. It was a lovely story. I think they don't even meet each other
until halfway through.
Yeah.
So a lot of it really is setting the scene and then, like, building, like, camaraderie. They meet each other hilariously because he, like, breaks his foot or something. And he's like, it's fine, I'm just living off of, like, ramen noodles and hope. And she's imagining her son, who is off at college, you know, alone, broken foot, no one to help him. And she's like, I have to protect this college boy. I have to bring him some soup. I know it's weird, but, like, I feel so bad for him being alone and hurt with no one to help him. And she gets there and he comes out and he's an adult and she's not 80. And they're both kind of like,
doesn't she almost hit him with a frying pan?
Yeah, she thinks he's like an intruder, like, or that he's been like purposely lying to her. But it becomes very clear that they're both shocked at the appearance of the other one. And then they just kind of become like friend crutches for a while, where they're just like, someone's making me do an outside thing, you have to come with me. Or much, like, yeah, they invited me here and it was a trap, it's for dates, I don't like it.
I love too how he's like, hey, why don't you take a picture of me and send my address to your friend so that, you know, yes, that, like, you know, you feel safe. And
yeah, volunteering that.
So nice.
Yes, because other, like, that's a thing that it's like really hard as a girl to ask someone, because a lot of time guys are like, I'm not gonna murder you, and you're like, I
that's
mean,
what a murderer says.
Yeah,
that's
definitely what a murderer says.
People say that to people who get murdered all the time.
That's the first thing they say. Yeah. Then it's, come over here and let me stab you.
And it's really nice that he is just seems like a very thoughtful person. And you know, like we said earlier, sometimes that does not bode well for him, because he does not stand up for himself and he doesn't tell people no very often.
And his mom is really kind of mean to him.
His mom is very mean to him, and you, and like, it is revealed throughout the book. I guess we can kind of do spoilers here. It is, you know, we're talking about the book, that his mom literally does not like him.
Yes.
Prefers the other son.
Yes, yeah. But somehow, because this is his job and he's the nice son, like, he is dealing with this woman who, it's not like dementia or Alzheimer's where someone who you know loves you is like acting out or lashing out. She literally doesn't like him. Mm-hmm. And he has given up his job, his career. He's moved here. He has nothing left for himself for this woman who like takes everything out on him.
It's the most lovely book with some of the most hateable characters. Oh, like, yes, both of their exes and his mom.
Yeah.
Like, there was lots of people and I just outright hated. And yeah, they did such a good job of building up, like, why you should hate them. And then they come into the picture and you're like, oh, you're even worse than I imagined.
Deborah. I was right.
Deborah and her whole group of friends, I was just like, look, do not do this to Maggie. So at first, I was kind of on Patience's side, Deborah's sister or the cousin, whatever, because she seemed like interested into knowing about like more about Maggie and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool, she's gonna have like one friend in this like book club of sorts. Yeah. But then like you learn that Patience is petty and like very gossipy and catty, and I'm just like, if you don't leave her alone.
And it had really good small town energy.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
they,
yeah,
they,
yeah,
both moved into the small town kind of against their will. And they both are like not thriving here, and a lot of that is the people like that are in the town. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are very like self-interested and petty. Not necessarily like outright mean for most of them, just kind of like, oh, but you don't want to hang out with people? Like, that's weird.
That's
like
weird.
You must be depressed because your husband left or like whatever. And you're like, no, I just don't want to.
Don't
and they're
it,
just
yeah,
like a broken
like
woman. Yeah. And it's very much like that. Or like this guy is single and like in his, I think he might be 48 or 50, like whatever. He's an older guy who, mm-hmm, is single, and they're like, ah, it must be because you haven't found the right here. Me.
Yes.
Me, please. And like, because he's not desperate to date a woman, any woman, they're like, something's wrong with him too.
I like how it like that, all that pettiness really highlights that like Maggie and Aiden are emotionally mature adults. Like, mm-hmm, I think that makes, mm-hmm, this book so stand out, because so many of the books have like this vibe of like 90s sitcoms. They're all like, yeah, Friends retellings, mm-hmm, and it's very quirky and fun, but most of their problems could be solved if they like sat down and had an honest conversation with each other.
Yes.
Or like went to therapy or, yeah, both.
These people have clearly gone to therapy already.
Maggie and Aiden have been to therapy.
Yes.
They are ready for adulthood, and it's just so refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Donald, I know you don't typically read romance, right?
No.
Okay, and I don't either.
Especially
so
not hetero romance.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not saying I'm opposed.
That's fair. It's not as relatable.
But this was fun. I really like this one because Maggie, like, because we were in her, mm-hmm, head for like the beginning of the book, it kind of really like hooked me right away. She's an introvert. She's a gamer, and she like stands up for herself. So like Maggie, mm-hmm, had a mouth, and it was fantastic. Oh my gosh, I loved that. I loved her relationship with her son. It kind of gave me the vibe of like my relationship with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like they both have the same personality, and they both have the same like shortcomings, and so,
yeah,
they are trying to help each other kind of branch out of those things. And I really like that, because like my mom also has like a mouth, and and when I'm around her, I kind of have one too, and so it's kind of, our banter can be like, it can be, mm-hmm, fun, it can be toxic, but yeah, I like that immediately, so that was fun. Yeah. And then like you said, like we liked Aiden because he's such a nice guy, and like, not like capital N capital G, no, he's such a generally like a kind person.
Kind person.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I loved that he, I first, I like their, the imagery of the two of them, right? So, like, Maggie is, like, half Asian, very tiny, and, you know,
the
like,
largest sweater possible.
The largest sweater possible. And Aiden is, like, a gigantic ginger teddy bear. And I was just like, these two are adorable. I'm obsessed with them. So, yeah.
I wrote down a quote about that, actually. It was, he was too tall. He towered over her, and she was in serious danger of climbing him like a jungle gym. And I was like...
You know Maggie, she sees something that seems insurmountable and she's like, ah, a challenge.
Now, one thing I will say, because anytime we talk about romance, we have to talk about a spice level. I'd probably just give this a one jalapeno.
A little jalapeno.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't, you know, that isn't like, they don't even meet in person until the half of the book. So mm-hmm. It's not like they immediately like start making out. It takes a little while for them to, one, get used to the fact that they're not
a child or a grandma.
Yes. And then, like, become friends, which is another thing I like. This is not like they met a month ago and now they're in love and they're moving in together. This was like they had many, many, like, weeks of friendship online, followed by many, many weeks of friendship in person. And then they're like, I think I like this person.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try to kiss them once. Like a normal human.
I like how, too, even their spicy scenes are, like, full of character development and humor.
Yes.
And it's not
it
just, like...
It is about
like,
them, yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, it doesn't just, like, change to, like, cardboard cutout people.
Yeah.
And it feels very relatable. Like, they were very relatable, awkward people who were like, I really like you. Ooh, boy, am I still a human, though.
I also liked that they weren't, like, supermodel pretty. Like, a lot of times when you read romance, it's, like, these idealized versions of humans. Mm-hmm. And I want to read about people.
Like, yeah, a person that I could be or see in real life.
Right.
not Chris Hemsworth.
They have like a normal amount of insecurity too. It's not like an over, it's like not like the whole point of the book, but it's like just like a normal amount.
A normal human amount. They're not like walking around every day like, oh no, me, I'm so hideous. But they're also not like, you know, ripping their shirt off just like, am I not the most beautiful? It's a nice in the middle.
I'm going to casually lounge around like I'm, photographs of me belong in magazines.
Yes.
Very much.
I always hang out like this. What are you talking about? Gosh, is there anything else? Like you said, there are a lot of good villains in here. The mom is definitely a villain and a real villain, like just fully bad.
Cheryl.
His husband.
they're so terrible.
There are a
terrible.
Lot of villains.
She was probably the worst in
the
my mind.
The worst, honestly. And it was the worst because she thought that she was like doing the right thing or doing a good thing, or maybe she was intentionally trying to hurt Aiden at like every step of the way, and it felt as though she was like trying to save Maggie or expose Aiden's true self to Maggie because she clearly couldn't possibly know anything about him.
Because otherwise, why would she be with him?
Otherwise, why would she be with him? God, and it was just every time, it's okay, particularly the wedding. Mm-hmm. Every time Cheryl opened her mouth, I was just kind of like, but why would you bring that up now? You know? And also, you're with, by the way,
that was the
girl,
roughest part.
Cheryl is with Aiden's brother because
so
they
Cheryl
dated.
Yeah. Used to date Aiden.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl has some problems with Aiden.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl is now married to with children.
Married to with children.
Aiden's brother.
Yes.
And that's not even a spoiler. That's established pretty early on.
It's
exactly.
pretty early on that there is a problem with Cheryl and that Cheryl is mean to Aiden, but married to Aiden's brother. But they don't see each other very often.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that scene was rough.
Yeah, because like, why are you still mad?
And it seemed like maybe the first time that his brother like saw it happening in person.
Yeah,
because I feel like at first he was like, weird, they don't like each other. That's probably because they used to date. Like, that's normal. And then kind of sees like how aggressively mean she is to him and was just kind of like, no, like... Maggie says something about it and he's like, no, Maggie's right, this is really uncomfortable. Why are you obsessed with my brother? You are married to me, we have children.
Somebody needed to ask that question.
Yeah. Then she's like, well, I'm not obsessed, and I'm like, you seem to bring him up a lot. Like, it was just that dinner scene was the most family dinner scene of any scene.
That's one of my favorite tropes, I guess.
Oh, like people sit down for just long enough.
Awkward family dinners. Yep. That is one of my favorite things to read about. I do not know why. Probably because I've had my own share. But
because like everyone's sitting down, they're forced to be in the same place for an hour and a half. And like sometimes things just come out. People can't hold on to themselves for more than an hour, I guess.
I really liked, so you brought up the word tropes and that got my brain spinning. There were a lot of tropes in this book that worked so well together. Mm-hmm. They didn't feel overused or even stale or cliche. They all melded and like blended very well into this like super enjoyable like book. While I was listening to it, it was like I was watching a movie play like, oh my God, what's it called? Kind of like Look Who's Coming to Dinner, right? Mm-hmm. Like one of those situations. Yeah. And that one was just that whole like visual of them around the table at the wedding. And then like, especially when Maggie started like yelling and she took her earrings off.
Girl. Hold on.
I was like, yeah, hit her.
Hit her, Maggie. She deserves it.
I loved how she had that like feisty 5 foot one energy.
Yes, just very tiny, but she will literally cut you.
That's why she only has 3 friends, because she has to go to war for them.
And most of them are online too. Yeah. In true introvert fashion.
Yes, she has a friend that lives across the country that she started being friends with on Twitter, I think.
Wasn't it through some random fandom, too? Yeah, like, this really was, like, peak introvert energy.
Oh, yeah. And now they talk all the time, but only on the internet. Only online. But, yes, it was fantastic. I feel like it felt very natural. Like, just the energy Maggie had, like, even in the beginning, it feels natural that she would also be, like, very somehow introverted but also confrontational.
Yes.
So in reality Aiden should have been taking a picture of her and sending it to his friend and being like, I'm at home, I'm with this crazy lady, if I don't come out alive.
She has a giant thing of hot pho. She could kill me right now.
I can't run, my foot's
broken.
The other part, and I know we've touched on Maggie's relationship with her son, but one of the things that I thought was really funny was she was so worried about him thriving off at college, so she was trying to encourage him to do things with other people, and he turned it on her. And
yes.
It was very funny, because it was very do as I say, not as I do, because she, peak introvert, literally has a work from home job, and like does not talk to anyone in real life, yet she's over here like, come on, son, you need college friends, you need to go talk to people. I'm not going to do that. And he was like, well, I will only do it if you do it. And it felt like a very like single mom only child energy, like they were parent and child, but they also were a lot closer than most, I think, because of the way that like they grew up together. And it was just really nice to see that energy. And they felt very companionable. Like, they still had their mother-son problems. But it was very clear that they both loved each other a lot. And that's always very refreshing to see.
I really liked the moment when she found out he had a girlfriend and he hadn't told her. It was just really funny because she was just like, I'm sorry. Not only do you not have, like, not only have you gone to a party and met this person and also have roommates, but you're dating this person? And how was I not clued in? And he was like, Mom.
It was a real, like, oh my gosh, my son is a separate entity now.
He's doing his own thing.
He just has a life. Oh God, is he an extrovert? What have I done?
What have I done?
How did I do this? How did this work out? But yes, I really liked it. As far as, like, reading the book, in the beginning, it was kind of slow to me. It took a little while for me to get into it. I think once they were on page together in real life, there was a lot more like chemistry. Because it's hard to have chemistry when you're like
online or virtual
texting. Yeah. Like basically,
especially when you have guildmates like interrupting like the texts with rude chats.
because they both think that they're completely different ages, so they're not like private messaging all the time chatting. They're just kind of like casually having group conversations. But once I got into that, it felt more like, dang, they work well together. Yeah. Like they have a fun energy that they bring to the book. It was a fun read.
I would say it's a beach read, but I took it on vacation with me, and I think a lot of it set in the winter, and all it did was make me mad that it was like 100 degrees while I was reading this.
So maybe like a cozy winter read.
Yes.
Like, it's cold outside. Read, yeah. It's cold outside. I'm not leaving my house. I have little candle.
I've got a mug of hot chocolate. Like...
Yeah, it is very much that kind of read. Yes.
She also has a Fandom Hearts series. So this is not a standalone in her type of writing.
Okay.
And some of the titles in that one are Level Up and What Happens at Con. And I was like, I get her. That's
going to
be great.
That's great.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Nerd books.
I feel like maybe that's a prerequisite for a romance for me. Like, it has to be some sort of like nerd romance. I don't enjoy like the other stuff. Oh, like, what do you call, not small town romances, but it looks, they live in towns that look like they belong in like snow globes.
Oh,
right? Like, do you know
like
what
the
I mean?
Hallmark kind of.
Yeah, like those Hallmark. I can't stand those.
Yeah.
I can't stand those.
And I do like when they have characters that are interesting or different in some way, not like a Hallmark, like, I'm 21 and I'm 24. Like, you know, ancient. I can't believe we're not married. This isn't the Regency.
I'm on my way to Spencerhood.
Like, I know. This isn't the Regency era. Like, it's okay. You can be older and it feels more relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, here's the thing. If I read a book about a 20-year-old falling madly in love, even though the book ends happily, I'm like, well, they didn't stay together.
They broke up in 3 months.
They broke up in 3 months.
I know for a fact.
One of them got a great job and they have to move across the country and the other one can't because of their job. It doesn't even have to be like that it ended badly.
Yeah.
You're in a part of your life that is very volatile.
Or, I mean, also, like, you're still developing those core values for yourself.
Yeah.
So it could be that one person decides, hey, I really want kids. And the other person was like, I told you up front I don't want any. Like,
yeah, but I thought you changed your mind because you were 20.
Yeah.
No? Yeah, so it feels a lot more like stable and relatable and just healthy when someone is older in books like this, because it feels like, oh, this person definitely knows what they want. Like, they're old enough that they have gone through some relationships. They have experience. It doesn't feel like you're going to get through the book and be like, well, now you have to start college, so I guess you're breaking up? I don't know.
To move away.
I will say that when it comes to romance or pretty much anything else, that I will read it and enjoy it if it has witty dialogue. And I don't even, not even care. It could be wildly unrealistic.
Yeah.
I bet so long as they're just sitting there, you know, like trading back and forth, I'm like, yes, this is great. Let's keep going.
Keep it to me.
Personally, I prefer romances where it's not like super heavily reliant on gender tropes, like in roles.
Yes.
Like,
oh my God.
So in this case, you know, poor Aiden, he was trying to help around the house and his handyman skills are so bad that a shelf fell off the wall that he was trying to mount and it broke his foot.
Yeah.
So, like, I prefer it to have that element of realism because, you know, not everybody's going to be your manly man or super girly woman. And
I can't build a shelf, girl. What I look like.
But yeah, I would really recommend it, especially if you like non-traditional romance. Even if you don't like romance that much, it's not like super, super, super heavy, like
truly,
sappy romance. It's just like if you like books about people hanging out and being friends and then maybe they kiss at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, this is the book for you.
I think what really helped me, especially get into the book, specifically Aiden's character, because I like Maggie right away.
Mm-hmm.
Was that he was on the asexual spectrum.
Yes!
And so that was super cool because it was just like, he didn't know how to explain it, but he was just like, so I know I like people, but like, I don't want to go there quite yet. Like, we have to have a conversation first. We have to be able to talk and be friends
first.
Yeah,
I want to like you as a person.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that just because Maggie is who Maggie is, she kind of understood like what he was talking about, because I imagine that's really hard to explain as a guy, especially.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't want to do that.
And
people are like, so you don't like me? And he's like, well, I might.
And instead, Maggie is like, oh, here are some words for that. Maybe you can think about that.
Yes.
I did some things to Google.
Like, I went home and I did some light Googling, and here's a spreadsheet of all the terms that you can look up that might apply to
you. Which was kind of refreshing to see. I didn't know what demisexual was until I went back into the online dating pool. And I was like, oh, wait, there's a term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. And it was just really nice to see someone like discovering that about themselves, especially when they're older and they're just kind of like, this would have helped me so much if I knew this when I was younger.
Oh my gosh. Didn't
have to just be like word soup, like,
and you have to know that is so like real life for so many people, because it seems like the younger people have a much better grasp of all of those words, and the older people are like, oh my God, there's a term for that. Like,
yes.
It's fantastic.
It's nice to even if it's when you're older to realize like, oh, I'm not weird.
It's not me.
There's a real word.
There's a word, and other people are like this.
What do they say? To find out that you're a zebra and not just some kind of weird horse.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Not just a weird horse.
Could you imagine being the only zebra
in a field full of horses? And you're like, what is wrong with me? I got stripes. And then you see a pack of zebra and you're like,
my people.
Oh my God, people with stripes. Oh gosh. Yeah, it was delightful. Definitely pick it up. Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like that's a good note to end everything on.
I think so. I think so.
I would say thank you. Well, you know what, Katie? Thank you for making a very solid recommendation. You kind of picked a crowd pleaser. So, and I know that's not easy to do because we're kind of all over the map about what we tend to read.
Katie, anytime you feel like you want to pick out a book for me, you go right ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Also, there is something that almost feels like giving a gift when somebody gives you a solid book recommendation.
Yeah, not just like I read this book and I want everyone to read it, but like has actually put some effort into it. And it's like, I think you would like this.
I can never resist that kind of somebody came up to me and they're like, you need to read this. And I was like, well, I can't not. Yeah. Like,
it's like the reverse time I got you to read Migration.
Oh my gosh. I have read two books since then that are about birds dying widespread. Yeah. And I'm like, what have you started?
It's like, you like birds, Chesley, in a very menacing way. Like, read this book.
I need to stop reading books that have birds on the cover because
they're
going to
die.
Right. It's about climate change. Everything's about climate change now, and they're all gone.
All right. On that note, be sure to ask us for books about birds dying.
Please do. We've got plenty.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.